Good morning. Today, we're going to look at the qualities of the Lord's church. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16 that upon the rock that Peter had confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. That's been over 2,000 years, and it is still going strong. It is going strong throughout history amidst severe persecutions. In fact, historically, when we see some of the biggest persecutions, that's been some of the biggest times of growth. Some of the greatest strengths have been drawn upon at those times. Sometimes some of the danger, and this can be a different sermon, but some of the greatest dangers when there's not persecution is the comfort, the ease, the sometimes apathy that can come. But we're going to look today at some of the qualities of the Lord's church, the church that he built, the church that Jesus paid for. It's bought and paid for. The cost was high. It was his life. One of the qualities of the Lord's church is it is scripturally sound. It doesn't take into account man's desires, man's creeds, or writings. It is based on the Bible. And in the past, you may or may not have worshiped in religious groups that were scripturally sound. It is night and day difference. The quality of the Lord's church is it's scripturally sound. It is based on the Bible. It is not based on man's feelings. It is not based on, as Naaman said, behold, I thought, I think, I feel, or in my opinion. It is based on Scripture. In Ephesians 4:14, Paul is writing to the Christians in Ephesus, and he says, he's encouraging that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. He compares two different things here. One, children. Children, I don't want to use the word gullible, but believing. Children can take at face value what people say, sometimes fairly easy, and can buy in. We shouldn't be as children. We should use our senses and the scripture to decide whether the things that are taught are sound or not. We should not be immature, but be mature and not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, like a feather. A feather does not choose the way it goes. It goes whichever way the wind blows. And as God's people, we cannot be like that. That we have a path. It's based on the Bible, and we will do that regardless of what it says, regardless of how easy it is, regardless of how hard it is to follow. We will do it because God said it, and not be tossed to and fro with every idea that comes along. In a personal letter to Titus, Paul wrote, he goes, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. He wanted Titus to speak the proper, doctrinally sound message. And then he gets into what is sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers. This is a freebie, okay? This need to stop here on this one. I've heard Christians misuse this, that women aren't allowed to work. That's not what this is saying. Regardless of whether you work outside the home or not, you help create that good home. You can work. Men work. Men are not off the hook of helping create a sound Christian home. Oh, that's not my job. I go out and earn a living. Even if we look at Lydia, Lydia worked. We look at the virtuous wife in Proverbs. She worked. She worked hard. But she made a good home. She made a good, godly home. And that's what Paul is saying. That women need to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Another side note, this would be a good sermon. Obedient to their husbands does not mean a doormat. An obedient wife, we as Christians have to be obedient. We have to be obedient to God's word. Obedience is not a bad word. But to be submissive and obedient and work with the husband in the type of home that home should be. Why? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, and keep in mind, this is all under the idea of what sound doctrine is. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. You don't want to pervert the word of God. As the Apostle Peter said, not to twist the scriptures to their own destruction. We don't want to do that. Incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Amen. Now, if you have an opponent, if you have an adversary, they may or may not say all sorts of things about you. Paul's saying, don't give them any ammunition. They're going to say bad things about you regardless. Don't help them out by the way you behave, by the way you talk, by the way you conduct yourselves. And at the beginning of this passage, Paul was telling Titus that these are the things that are sound and proper doctrine. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. That's sound doctrine. Jesus said, and in vain they worship me. There's a lot of religious groups meeting this very hour throughout the world, claiming to worship God. Jesus says, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Identifying marks of the Lord's church is sound doctrine. Is it from God's word or is it from man? In Acts 2:42, on the day of Pentecost, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they were not teaching anything that Jesus hadn't taught them or that the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Sound doctrine is vital and is an identifying mark of the Lord's church. Another quality of the Lord's church is that it is properly led, and that is with elders. Unfortunately, right now, we do not have elders. That is something that we are praying for. That is something that we are striving for to be fully in accordance with God's word. As bad as it would be to not have elders, something as bad would be, in fact, I've seen it worse, is to put men that aren't scripturally qualified in just to have them. I've carried this in my Bible for a few years now. Brother and sister that I love gave it to me. It says, better to be, and I don't know who originally said it, better to be scripturally unorganized than to be organized unscripturally. But there is no doubt it is part of God's plan to have elders. And with your prayers and your efforts and the way you live your lives, we may someday have them. Titus 1:5, Paul wrote to Titus and says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. That was the one thing those churches were lacking. Were they still the Lord's church? Yes. That was lacking in what they needed. 1 Timothy, Paul says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. We want the Lord's church and this congregation, we want elders that will shepherd the flock well. And to have men that will be someday worthy of double honor for the way that they lead the Lord's body. The Lord's church is an active church. It is not a spectator sport. It is active. It wants your participation. It requires your participation. We are not. And I tell you, I greatly admire this congregation because we are active. We as a body are not the time card punching, pew warming Christians that it's time, you know, it's time to go. We've done our duty. I've warmed the pew long enough. It's time for us to get out and beat the denominations to the buffets. You know, we don't want that. An active congregation, not of games and stuff. Don't be confused with being active and being productive. You can be active with fluff. Cotton candy tastes good, but it's not nutritious and doesn't fill you up. Teaching, preaching, encouraging each other. The fellowship that we gain by being active. God did not design us to be islands. God did not design us to be alone, but to do this thing called life together, for the strength that we get, for the encouragement that we get and can give to each other. Hebrews 3:13, the Hebrew writer says, but exhort one another daily. Daily. Those of you that send me a little text, you don't know what it does. It just gives me a shot in the arm. I try to send some out to some of you guys to let you know I'm thinking about you. Have a good day. Just to know that you're being thought of, prayed for. But exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And our scripture reading that Brother Ken read earlier, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We are warned about how to be careful in the choosing of your friends, because it can either build you up or can lead you astray. And we as Christians, one of the greatest compliments I could give to my friends, they make me better, a better person. And hopefully me to them. Because if we're not, if we're a detriment to each other, then maybe we need to pick better friends. Hopefully, I've made my friends better people, better Christians, and they me. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another. Not consider ourselves. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Something just to think about. Self-reflection. I actually heard this in regards to the workplace, but it fits. If your absence isn't felt, your presence probably isn't either. Something to think about with our brothers and sisters. A little self-reflection. The Lord's church is friendly and loving. Probably the greatest compliment I think we get from visitors is when they say, "We're glad we came. You're so friendly and you're sound." Is there anything else you could ask for from a visitor? To be, that's the way you're portrayed. You're sound and you're friendly. We have to be friendly. We have to be something that people want to be part of the Lord's church. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Let them see what you're about. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not coming up with some new information. This you've heard from the beginning. And last but not least, the Lord's church is growing. If it wasn't growing, it would have died out in the first century. After those 12 men that Jesus left it in their hands in Acts, if it didn't grow, it would have died with them. And it is going strong today worldwide. We grow through teaching, we grow through preaching, we grow through missionary work. It's nice to know that we preach the Word of God from this location. We teach the Word of God from this location, from our kitchen tables, from our Bible classes. But we also, you are helping spread the Word of God in South Korea. You are helping share and spread the Word of God in Kenya, in Mexico, in Pahrump. We're growing. We're sharing the Word of God. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission, before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he told his apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Don't leave anything out. You teach them all the things I've taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And we'll close with this passage, 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he understood, I'm not going to be around forever, just like Jesus wasn't. And Paul told Timothy, and these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And that's why it doesn't start and stop with the guy in front. He's proclaiming it, and then you need to go proclaim it. If I drop dead right now, hopefully not until after lunch at least. I'm hungry. I'm getting hungry. I'm going to start cutting this off. If I drop dead right now, there's not a doubt in my mind the word of God would be continued to be preached from this location. Because faithful men would be able to teach others also. The lesson is yours. We want and are part of the Lord's church. We want to be part of that. We've chosen to be part of that. I am glad that God loved me enough to send His Son to die for me, and that blood purchased His church. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, one of the requirements is you have to be baptized. If you're not baptized, you're not part of the Lord's church. You may be part of a church. It ain't the Lord's. Don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we can accommodate you. If you would like prayers from the brothers and sisters in this location, let your request be known. If there is sin between you and God, keeping you from fully serving and fully glorifying your Lord and Savior and God, repent of those sins. Don't let that be between you and God. If you're looking for a church home, if you've been looking at a number of congregations of the Lord's body and would like to worship and work with us here, we need and can use you. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.